Thank you very much. First off, it's a real honor to be here. I didn't know Governor Graham was going to be here, so it's nice to see you here. We saw each other the other day somewhere in the country in a hotel room. As I was leaving, he was coming in, so it's nice to see you. Glad you're here. All right. I want to especially thank President Gates, President Senate Don Gates, and Speaker of the House Will Weatherford. These are men of great faith, and they're devoted to helping Florida families. Like everyone in this chamber, they're committed to helping our state and investing in future generations. They are my partners, they are my friends, and they are committed public servants. Lieutenant Governor Jennifer Carroll, thank you very much for all your tireless work each and every day. Thank you very much. I'd like to also thank the Supreme Court Chief Justice Ricky Polston and the other members of the court. It's nice to see you. Attorney General Pam Bondi, Agricultural Commissioner Adam Putnam, and CFO Jeff Atwater. Somebody's calling. Somebody is calling. I don't know who it is. All right. So, I also want to thank the love of my life and my beautiful wife of now 40 years, Anne, for being here. My daughters Allison and Jordan and my son-in-law Jeremy are also here today. And Ann and I are very proud because both of our daughters are now expecting new additions this year. And for a repeat performance, my 15-month-old grandson is here, August, who's now falling asleep. This is the best job of being a grandpa. I love being a grandpa. So, this is now the third time I've had the opportunity to address you to report on the state of the great state of Florida. And after 2 years of hard work, this update can be summed up in two words. It's working. Ago we met facing crippling debt, record high unemployment, and a downward spiral of job losses. Today, because of the tireless work of the men and women in this room, our businesses are creating hundreds of thousands of jobs, and our unemployment rate is now down nearly to the national average. And we aren't stopping here. It's working. Two years ago, we knew we had been called here to make the difficult choices to help Florida families get back to work. Together, we faced those challenges head on. We cut taxes. We eliminated thousands of regulations on job creators. We paid down state debt for 2 years in a row. We invested in priorities like education. And now our economy is on the rebound. It's working. Because we made the hard choices over the last 2 years, we're able to make the smart choices now to keep our economy growing. We have a projected budget surplus for the first time in 6 years. Our challenges are different in this budget, but the goal is absolutely the same. The goal is economic growth and job creation. This year, we have two priorities to keep our economy growing. First, remove the sales tax on manufacturing equipment. And second, invest in our teachers by providing them a well-deserved pay raise. Our Florida Families First budget supports these priorities while maintaining substantial reserves. This is responsible stewardship of taxpayer money. Washington, D.C. could learn a few budget lessons from Florida. The contrast between our state and the nation's capital is remarkable. Now is not the time to turn back to the legacy of taxing and borrowing that crippled the economy we inherited 2 years ago. We must stay the course for economic growth and job creation. When I ran for governor, as you all know, it was the first time I'd ever run for any elected office. I spent a career in business, not politics. I knew that our primary job was to move Florida's economy out of the red and into the black. We needed to cut spending, pay down debt, support job creators. What we needed to do then was simple, and in many ways remains the same today. Why we need to do it is even more clear and personal to me now more than ever. As many of you know, Ann and I both lost parents this last year. My mother, Esther, was one of the only constants in my life. Even after I moved away from home and joined the Navy, we communicated every week. We'd write letters and talk on the phone if we could, but we never let a week go by without being in touch. I am absolutely grateful for the lessons I learned from my parents' sacrifices. They often had trouble making ends meet, so we moved for them to find work. I remember when my mom would take extra jobs, like ironing, just so we could buy groceries. In spite of my mom's struggles, including getting a divorce from my birth father at a young age and almost putting me up for adoption, my mom was an incredible optimist. She was an encourager. She told us to dream big. My mom never went to college, but for her own children, getting an education, a great education, was not an option. Our education was so important to my mom, she didn't just talk about it. She showed up. My mom somehow made it to every one of my graduations, even when it meant she had to travel far away. I don't know how she found the money, but she came to freezing Chicago for my boot camp graduation and Dallas for law school graduation. My mom, the wife of a World War II veteran, had a simple formula for raising kids. We had to go to church a lot. Do well in school. Get a job. She taught us that in America, hard work plus sacrifice meant you could live any dream you wanted. You could make your American dream come true. The longer I live, the more I'm convinced that my mom was right, not just for our family, but for every family. Why are we so focused on creating jobs and improving education? Why do we put Florida families first in our budget? Because every Florida family wants not just to dream, They want the opportunity to make sure their dreams can come true. Like my mom's formula, our formula this session is simple. We must invest in our education system, support our teachers, cut taxes to help create more jobs. Our work to cut spending and live within our means over the last few years has allowed us to once again invest in education. The workers of tomorrow are in Florida classrooms today. When I first stood before you in 2011, I said, the single most important factor in student learning is the quality of teaching. Since that time, we eliminated teacher tenure. We signed performance pay into law, and it will take effect in 2014. Florida's education system is making tremendous progress, due in large part to our great teachers and the work begun by Governor Bush and many in this legislature. Our students and teachers were recently ranked 6th for educational quality. Our 4th graders scored among the highest in the world on a recent reading evaluation. Accountability is working. The best way we can build on this progress is to reward our hard-working teachers with a $2,500 pay raise. Some say they are afraid raises to all teachers may mean that a teacher doing a bad job gets rewarded. But thanks to our work, we are now in a better position than ever before to reward good teachers and move bad teachers out of the classroom. We don't want a war on teachers. We want a war on failure. Teachers change lives. Greco Middle School teacher Elizabeth Healy is here today from Tampa. Will you please stand? Elizabeth began her career as an engineer, but she decided she wanted to share her passion for science by teaching it. Thank you very much. Orange County. Orange County School District Superintendent Barbara Jenkins is also here. Barbara, will you please stand? We need to honor you for your commitment to the teachers in your district and your dedication to student achievement. Thank you, Elizabeth and Barbara, for the work you do to help make dreams come true for the next generations of Floridians. I'd like all of you to stop and think for a second. Think about your favorite teacher. We all had a favorite teacher. Like me, you're all probably here because some teacher believed in you. It was probably that favorite teacher. So I'd like everyone to please stand now in honor of that great favorite teacher. In total, our budget increases K-12 education funding by more than $1.2 billion. This billion-dollar commitment builds on our billion-dollar investment in K-12 education last year. Our total education investment of $10.7 billion in state funding for K-12 this year is the highest state funding level in Florida history. This represents an increase of more than $400 in per student funding over the current fiscal year. I'm asking for your help to make this historic commitment to education funding a reality for Florida families. Getting a great education helps dreams come true, and those dreams are almost always jobs. That is why our formula for success focuses on education and jobs. 2 years ago, Florida was losing jobs, and many Florida families were losing their dreams. In the 4 years before I took office, Florida lost more than 825,000 jobs. Unemployment more than tripled, from 3.5 to 11.1 over those 4 years. State debt increased over those 4 years by $5.2 billion. Our housing market had collapsed. Our economy was off track. Florida families were hurting. The short-sighted policies of borrowing on our future had led to disaster. Together, we fought to cut spending, cut taxes, and pay down debt. Our unemployment rate has now dropped by more than 3 percentage points from 2 years ago, the second biggest drop in the country. We are now at 7.9%, barely above the national average, and we're at a four-year low from Florida. And we aren't stopping there. We have cut state debt by $2 billion, housing starts are up, and consumer confidence is rebounding. Our economy has created around 200,000 new private sector jobs in the last 2 years, meaning that thousands of Florida families now have the opportunity to live their dreams. It's working. We came into office saying we wanted to create an environment that would encourage businesses to add 700,000 jobs over 7 years. When I took office 2 years ago, the debate was about whether or not that was even possible. Now there's a debate about how to count all the jobs being created and who should get credit for it. Maybe it's because I'm not a politician, but I think this is a great debate to have. It celebrates the fact their economy is once again creating jobs. And as Ronald Reagan said, there is no limit to what you can accomplish if you don't care who gets the credit. As long as even one Florida family needs a job, our work is not done. That's why we are committed to removing the sales tax on manufacturing equipment. Florida is one of only a few states with this tax, and we lag behind the nation in per capita manufacturing jobs. We need to level the playing field to compete for manufacturing jobs. There's some great Florida manufacturing leaders here with us today. We are honored to have Wes Bush, Chairman and CEO of Northrop Grumman here. Less than 24 hours ago, his company made a major announcement that they will be adding more than 1,000 new jobs in Florida. Wes, thank you for your great confidence in our state. and our workers. Also, President of Johnson & Johnson Vision Care, Dave Brown, is also here from Jacksonville. Okay. And Goya Foods President Frank Gunaway is here from Miami. Manufacturing has a major impact on our economy. Every manufacturing job supports 2 to 3 other jobs in our state. Companies like Northrop Grumman, Johnson & Johnson, and Goya show how manufacturing businesses combined with Florida's great location and 15 seaports means more jobs for Florida families. Bill Johnson, director of the Port of Miami and chairman of the Florida Ports Council, is also here. When the Miami Port Dredge Project is completed, along with the Panama Canal expansion, thousands of new jobs will be created. So Wes, Dave, Frank, and Bill, thank you very much for your commitment to building jobs in the great state of Florida. Thank you very much. Not having a job is devastating to a family. I remember when my parents couldn't find work. I remember when my dad had his car repossessed. The most important thing to a family is having a job. Everything we have done over the last 2 years has been geared to job creation, and I want to stress again, it's working. This year, we are also proposing that we continue to roll back the business tax exemption by exempting 2,000 more small businesses from having to pay the business tax. If we are successful, we will have removed the business tax from 70% of the businesses since taking office. I am committed to getting rid of this tax entirely. It will mean more jobs for Florida families. Thanks to the hard choices we have made over the last 2 years, we can afford to cut taxes and also invest in critical areas that have gone without increased funding for several years. Our budget increases operating funds for Florida State Colleges by $70 million and increases funding for Florida universities by more than $390 million. Much of this increase will be tied to performance measures to ensure schools are preparing students to get a job. I would especially thank University of Florida President Bernie Manchin for being so helpful in coming up with performance measurements for success. Dr. Manchin worked with his colleagues across the university system to form measurements and to continue to make Florida universities the best in the country. Dr. Manchin, please stand so we can thank you and all our university leaders. I also want to thank Randy Hanna, Chancellor of the Florida State Colleges, for working to make college more affordable. I want to thank Randy for his role in enlisting all 23 state colleges offering 4-year degree programs in our $10,000 degree challenge to graduate students in high-demand job fields at a low cost. Please join me in thanking Randy and all of our state college leaders for stepping up. For the first time in 8 years, our budget also increases funding for persons with disabilities by $36 million to help more disabled people receive community-based services and $2.5 million for job training. Betty Kay Clements is here today. She is an advocate for persons with disabilities in the Orlando area. I was honored to meet Betty recently and hear her story about her beautiful daughter, Laura Lynn, who has overcome many obstacles with her disability to get a job at Target. Betty Kay, please stand so we can thank you for sharing your victory. Our Florida Families First budget also invests $1.5 million to provide safe houses for victims of human trafficking. Ann and I had the privilege of meeting Allison Good in Miami last month. Allison was first trafficked when she was 5 years old. She eventually came to Florida, where she continued to be a victim of trafficking into her early 20s. Today, Allison is a warrior in a battle to end this horrific crime. Allison could not be here today, but we are grateful for the God-given bravery she has to share her story and give a voice to the millions of victims who suffer in silence. Please join me in a round of applause to thank Allison and all of those working to raise awareness against this evil and stop this crime from claiming even one more victim. We have some other heroes here today. Annette Kirk, will you please stand in honor of your son, Private First Class Paul Kasupi. Paul lost his life while fighting for our freedom in Afghanistan. Annette, it was an honor to meet your family in Tampa and hear about Paul's bravery in combat. Please join me in thanking Annette and every military family for their sacrifice. To our troops, our firefighters, and police officers, you are the true definition of heroism. St. Lucie County Sheriff's Sergeant Gary Morales, whose life was taken tragically just last week, was a profile of courage. We are forever grateful to Sergeant Morales and all of our first responders who live for something larger than self. Thank you very much. I also want to recognize Representative Kerry Pigman from Highlands County, who will be deploying to Kuwait with the U.S. Army Reserve right after session ends. Representative Pigman, we please stand so we can thank you for your service, not only to our state, but to our country. 2 years ago, we began our hard work to get our state's economy back on track. Today, we know it's working. We could have chosen a different course. We could have continued to drive up taxes and borrowed to increase spending. That would have been the easy way out. California raised their top income tax rate to 13.3%, the highest in the nation. But it isn't working in California. People are leaving their state, and they have the second highest unemployment rate in the country. More taxes and more spending aren't working in New York either. More than 3.4 million people have fled New York from 2000 to 2009. Florida was their number one destination. Taxing and spending aren't working in Illinois either. After raising their personal income tax rate by nearly 70% in 2011, they have one of the worst budget deficits in the country. Here in Florida, our work to reduce spending and cut taxes, along with making critical investments in priorities like education, is working. Top CEOs now rank Florida the second best place to do business in the country. The National Chamber Foundation said we have the number one talent pipeline. Just recently, we made a major announcement with Verizon in the Orlando area that will result in a new facility and hundreds of jobs. Michelle Robinson, Verizon's region president, is here today. Michelle, will you please stand? Michelle, thank you for investing in Florida and helping create more opportunities for Florida families. Thank you very much. We didn't win every battle over the last 2 years. After a long fight, we lost in the Supreme Court over the president's health care law, and we lost our presidential election along with the promise of the law's full repeal. Now our options are either having Floridians pay to fund this program in other states while denying health care to our citizens, or using federal funds to help some of the poorest in our state with the Medicaid program as we explore other health care improvements. As I wrestled with this decision, I thought about my mom and her struggles to get my little brother health care with no money. I concluded that for the 3 years, the federal government is committed to paying 100% of the cost of new people in Medicaid. I cannot, in good conscience, deny the uninsured access to care. Of course, the best way for any family to access great health care is to have a great job. Like my mom, I'm an optimist. I believe in big dreams. I believe Florida will be the number one place in the world for job creation. I believe Florida will be the number one place in the world to get a great education, and the number one place in the world where families can afford to live. I believe that as we all continue to work together, Florida's job growth will outpace the nation, and our unemployment rate will drop below the national average. I hope Texas Governor Rick Perry is listening. As Governor Perry found out when he came to Florida to go fishing and came in second, Florida won't stop until we're number one. Florida will soon unseat Texas as the top job creator in the nation. And we also plan to beat them in how we brag about our state also. The hard work done over the last few years has set us up with a simple formula for success this year. We must remove the sales tax on manufacturers. And invest in future generations of Floridians by investing in Florida's teachers. President Gates, Speaker Weatherford, senators and representatives, I look forward to joining with you as we all put Florida families first and send a message to the world that Florida is serious about job creation and it's working. Thank you very much. Thank you.